to get through everything this morning. I also realize that when you have your last service or formal service in the year, you try to do everything at once. So bear with us. Hopefully this morning God will settle a few things in our hearts. We're going to pray for one another. So please be open to that. My wife and I, just before 12, in order to get to a church that we are also hoping to do Bible school with in Hythe. It's Hythe Park. They're close to Staines, so we'll be running to have a meal with them this afternoon. So pray for us, please, as God is really entrusting us with amazing relationships in the rest of the body of Christ. Okay, I'm going to this morning share a few things with you that I know some of you maybe have heard, but God was very straight to me about this, it just surfaced in so many talks the last few weeks, and I was forced to get back to a conversation that God actually had. I remember I came in 2012 and share the same word, so for those of you that recognize it, praise God. Okay, it's going to help you to get to the point. But I've mentioned it a few times in the different sermons that I've preached the past 5 months, and I'm concluding things that I believe God really wants us to get right, as I said last weekend as well. There's some challenges ahead of us, but it's beautiful what God is already doing. And it's amazing to see just how God is busy reaching into our innermost being and allowing us to make some adjustments to where He wants to take us. So I really believe God wants to settle these things before we get to the new year. So please bear with me as I challenge you again. that's what I love doing, because I'm challenging myself as well. So please move with me. So you've heard some of the stuff, but I'm going to trust that God is going to cement it in our hearts this morning. Okay, are you awake? Because that's very important. I see Charlotte almost fell from her chair now. So if anyone falls from their chairs this morning, please make sure to get the boot right. To get people awake. no, please be gentle on one another. But let's focus this morning. I really trust that God is going to settle some things in our heart. Last year, when we went to Empower 21 here in London, I was beforehand very interested to actually see the dynamic of the Pentecostal movement coming to London. Because it sometimes feels so awkward, you know. The British culture is so prim and proper and amazing, and then these Pentecostals can really go wild. So I was always nervous about what the potential would be of such a conference in London, but it was beautiful to see the dynamic, and I was actually so surprised and so blessed by the response of the UK in the midst of what happened, at the Empower 21. Now, I know the charismatic movement is very blessed, and I know I'm celebrating what God has done, you know, in the Pentecostal movement, and beyond that, even the charismatic movement. But I'm also open for the many flaws that we have, even in trying to embrace what the Holy Spirit is doing in our midst. So beautiful things has happened. The church is not reaching the ends of the earth yet, although we are trying. But there's beautiful things happening. And, you know, just talking to the pastor there in Penzance again, and just hearing, you know, the same heartbeat excites you. You know that there's something. But to get back to the dynamic. So, for me, it was beautiful to see how the British people, the British, you know, men of God, the real generals in this army, you know, would respond to their American counterparts. Because the Americans are loud and they want to make sure that all of us know that the Holy Spirit is operating in America and beyond, and that they have a great contribution and a legacy, you know, with the Pentecostal movement. But then you have the British people that would stay quiet, but their presence and their silence actually says a lot more than the loud noise that is made around in the charismatic circles. And I was so blessed by it. I was so blessed by the fact that God would use men and women of God in this nation to actually send a picture to the world that there's nothing new under the sun. That this has happened, and it has happened so many times in the past, and yet we've got a new challenge, and that is to get back to God. Okay, and that's for the whole world. And I really believe, as I said last Sunday as well, is God is stirring a few things, you know, within the church. And we want to trust God to get to the place where the body of Christ will now stand up and be awakened. But I'm blessed about what's happening in the UK. I'm so blessed by the humility shown by so many men of God. And that's why next year is important. As we pray for the nation, as we trust God to get out of London, I was just so, you know, excited to get out of London. It was my first time out of London, except flying to Dublin last year. It was beautiful just to drive through the countryside and go to Cornwall, and to experience the hearts of the people, you know, in the rest of the country. So that's what we want to do next year. We want to trust God to go and to build relationships and take hands with those who are fighting the fight courageously. Okay, are you still with me? Woo, this morning we'll have to fight the big fight. So, Mark 14, verse 3 to 9. Okay, so on Friday night, me and my wife, before I read this scripture, you can page there if you want to, because we're mostly going to spend time in that. Me and my wife went to a pub, as the Manchester people would say, a pub. we went there to because there was a parent evening for the school that our children attend. I was looking up to this thing for weeks now. I did not want to go. I hate being in an environment where I need to you know, get to know all the people, not just, you know, a few, but everyone that is there. And then again, you know, just I said to my wife, these Christmas parties can really be like, okay, not Hell's Angels, but at least, you know, it can become strange. Okay, so on Friday night we went, but I was so pleasantly surprised, you know, just by the hearts of people being opened. But there was this one guy, a Colombian guy, that, you know, the whole night I would just catch his eye, and, you know, it's as if we, you know, we're just, you know, the whole night, you know, looking to actually get to meet one another. And when we did, he introduced me to a friend of his that is Hindu, that's standing next to him. And he asked me, oh, so what are you doing? I said, I'm a pastor of a church, and, you know, that's always the big icebreaker. What was amazing is just his response. He said, oh, that's awesome. I live for Jesus. So before, you know, in front of this Hindu guy, he's now just going off and he says, Jesus is the priority in my life. I love Jesus, you know. And he would say it over and over in front of, you know, I was, and it's not as if he had a drink. He was one of the sober guys there. There was, unfortunately, a lot of not so sober guys. But that was also amazing, just to see, you know, people opening their hearts when they go to a pub. it was a pleasant experience for me and my wife, just you know, fellowshipping with these people. But this moment was really blessed for me. You know, just the moment where I could see, and he actually said it. He said, you know, me and my wife, the biggest priority in our lives is Jesus. And he was so proud of it. He could say it with confidence, and he could say it in the midst of, you know, people that really need a God. And my conversation with you this morning is one that I'm driving for months now, is to get to the place where Jesus really is the priority in our lives. Because I think, you know, looking at the culture and so many other things, and I don't want to fight the culture the whole time, because I'm telling you, in every culture there's challenges, but I'm not intimidated by it. I'm so blessed by it, because we are here for a day such as this. But what I want to say to you is, making these shifts in our hearts and minds will cost us, as I said last week, but it's going to be blessed. Okay, Mark 14, verse 3 to 9. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, okay, leper, you know, is a very sick person at that in that time, because it was pretty much incurable, eh, David? It was very difficult to, you would be put out of the city even to not be contagious, you know, so that they could isolate the sickness. So it was a dreadful disease in that time. And you would really try to stay out of the circles of those who did have the sickness. So don't fool yourself. This was not a easy assignment for Jesus. This was a time when he actually got into this house because this person got healed because of the ministry of Jesus. And so they would go into the house, and Jesus would spend time with him and listen to the rest. As he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, "Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body," and this is the prophetic action. So please keep this in context. "She had done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Surely I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." Okay, so the historical context of this is, now Jesus is coming into Jerusalem for the last time. Okay, this was his last appearance in this beautiful city. It was the time when Jesus would enter the city, you know, on a donkey. They would cry, "Hosanna, Hosanna." But it was also, as you know, very strange, because the same people that shouted "Hosanna, Hosanna" did not save Jesus from the cross. Are you with me now? I want you to get this right, because it's within the week that Jesus actually would die. Because I want you to understand the urgency. Entering into the city, Jesus is now at the last of his last, where he's spending time with his disciples, and probably the same evening, Jesus sat down with his disciples to break the bread and share the wine with them. So it's prophetically of where Jesus at this stage was of his ministry, very important to Jesus to stay focused, okay? It was the blood, sweat time. So if it says that, you know, Jesus at this stage was busy getting ready for his burial, it was because he knew what's going to happen. Okay, it's the time of the Passover. And for those of you that knows the Hebrew culture, they would bring the little lambs into Jerusalem. Each family, you know, would bring a little lamb without any blemish. And then they would make sure that none of the bones of this little, lamb is broken. But they would also make sure that it's the best of their flock. They would bring it into Jerusalem. I want you to see the picture. Walking into Jerusalem as a family with your lamb, as a sacrifice unto God for the sins that you and your family has committed during the year. Okay, this would happen every year to a time when the Passover will happen. Now, in doing so, they would go to the city, and this is also the time that the Lamb is going into the city. The Lamb of God. The one that also needs to be scrutinized and examined to see if he is with any blemish, so that he could go to the cross to be the sacrifice for the sins of the people. Okay, so now I want you to understand the significance of it, and we'll get back to this conversation next year around Passover. So I just want you to have the context, because in this significance, Jesus has the urgency for them to be focused. As we heard Jesus saying to his disciples, listen, just wake up. Can we just... There's a conversation that we must have about, you know, what's going to happen in the next few days. And if you don't know what's happening, please just pray so that God can reveal himself to you. Okay, so please understand the urgency. So now within this, Jesus is sitting with his disciples, and this woman Mary, which was also the sister of Martha and also the sister of... No, not the pastor. Okay. Praise God. There's one that that is awake. Just wave. Say, Lazarus, wake up. Okay. Thanks, Charlotte. You are at least awake. So, now that Lazarus is awake, Martha and Mary and their house. Okay, this... No, sorry. It's the Simon the leper's house. But they are in the house as well. Now, we know that they always follow Jesus. Okay, they were an integral part of the disciples of Jesus. And so Mary then went and she spilled this oil. Now, just to get back to how costly this oil really was, this oil represented a year's worth of wages, but it's also the oil that would be used to anoint your husband before you marry him. So it's a beautiful picture of the anointing oil and how precious it was. And so she would spill that on the feet of Jesus and she would anoint him. And now the quarrel starts. Because there's a few men that is very faithful to God at this stage, and they've laid down their lives. Now my question to you this morning is, if you were a disciple and you were sitting around Jesus, and Jesus would say to you, listen, can we have the conversation? Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? It means that Jesus is not very pleased with what you are doing. So Jesus is shaking the boat and he's saying to them, listen, can we have this conversation? Because clearly you are not on my page. Yes, you have sacrificially laid down your lives for me. Now, I want to say to you, if there was any people that sacrificially laid down their lives, it was the disciples. Is it not so? If there was anyone that did the things of Jesus, it was the disciples. Is it not so? And even though all of this is happening, Jesus is saying to them, you are missing the point. Because there's only one that are focused on what matters most at this stage. Okay. Now, this is the old story, and I want to just say to you this morning of us as Christians trying to figure out what God is busy doing in our lives. And trying to make sense of this, you know, crazy road that we are walking with Christ, which we don't always understand, but needs to get onto the page of Jesus. Because Jesus is saying to his disciples, leave her alone, because she actually is on my board game. She understands. It's like playing chess on a Monopoly game. And Monopoly rules. It's not working. Okay, it's like me and the traffic authorities now. Okay, we are playing chess and Monopoly here. The more I try to convince them that I actually need grace here, the more they say, listen, there's no appeals for the kind of appeal that you want to do, so there's no ways that you can appeal. Okay, if you don't fall into the seven categories of appeals, then we don't have a case. Okay, so now we're not finding one another yet, and I'm going to lose this battle because I'm not playing on their chess game. Okay, I clearly need grace on another level that they don't understand. But what I can tell you is this is the place where Jesus needs to find his disciples, and it is the most important thing because, and I will tell you why, Jesus is repeating this all the way unto the cross. Because Peter was at the same place. Peter thought his human efforts will save Jesus. Peter thought that if I could only do the kind of thing, show the kind of bravery that is necessary, that Jesus would avoid the cross, then all things will be fine. Okay, we'll go on with this ministry for the next 20 years, and many people will get saved, and thou kingdom come. Okay. But now Jesus is clearly on another page. Jesus is at the place where he's challenging what I know in even the times that we are living in, as our business heads, we're trying to figure things out, trying to justify what we're doing. And so, sometimes, it's crazy how you would see it in society today. And, I was, again, so blessed by the countryside now, because you will still see that people has time for one another. It's beautiful to get there. And, we went to David's lecturer of Trinity College. It was so beautiful. They invited us into the home. They gave us tea and cookies and whatever. It was so beautiful. Just to see their hospitality, there in the countryside. And you would see people are still caring for one another. They're not doing it because they are doing a job, but they're doing it because of the willingness of, we're doing it out of the heart. Whenever you reach out to somebody else, whenever you see somebody else, you actually do it because this is how we do it, as British people. You can see there's some values that they live by. You're in the city, and it's like that in any city in the world, so please relax. It's, you would always ask somebody to come and do a favor, then they would say, okay, so it will cost you, I'll send you the invoice, okay, next week. Nothing gets done for free. You don't do anything out of value, yeah? You do it out of your invoicing system. that's just human. That's how it works, because if we make sums, we make sums according to what we believe. Time is value, and because it's valuable, we make sure that we get paid for it. And that's how our heads work, because we always want to commit ourselves to things that make sense. And yet Jesus is saying, guys, can we stop this boat quickly? Can we have a little conversation quickly? Can we have the most important conversation of all? And that is, Peter, we don't cut off ears. We don't do crazy stuff like that. Not now. Because now I actually must go to the cross. And Peter, it's going to be hard for you, but it's because you've got a commission on your life. There's a plan that I have for your life. Okay? But it's God's plan. And our plans, if you're Peter and if you're any of the other disciples, is normally different from that which God placed before us. Are you with me this morning? Just shake the person next to you and say, snow is falling. Okay, so we get to there's an established value system that kicks in with the flesh being tested in our lives, and it normally gets exposed through money and assets, as I've said before, and relationships, whatever we can control, because through money we can control a lot of things, and through relationships we can control a lot of things, because if I'm a boss at work, I can manipulate and use people to get to my goals, my purposes. Okay. And this pendulum in our lives, you know, normally brings us to a place where we're always challenged by what is the motivation that we live for. Now, with this pendulum, we also know, as I said before, you know, it's driven through either fear or through arrogance. Either the fear that we, you know, we're not going to make it, and we're not anointed enough, and we are not going to break this yoke, or the arrogance of I'm in total control and I will do whatever I want. And within that, God brings us to a place of contentment and surrender to Him, which is beautiful. And that's why He says, she has done this beautiful thing to me, because she's understanding what I am busy doing in her life. Now, I just want to say to you, at this stage, Jesus is satisfied with her as being Mary. The problem is the little problem that we spoke about last week as well. And for those of you that weren't here, I just want to say, Martha is at this time in the kitchen preparing the food. And in doing so, she's got this massive issue with Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus and not helping preparing the food, because she must do the hard labor, and Mary is now, you know, using all the time to sit at the feet of Jesus. Now, we often get this wrong by saying, okay, you know, we must be in the presence of God, and that is amazing. That's exactly what is happening here. But I want to add to that in saying, if you're in the kitchen, it doesn't mean that you're not in the presence of God. It's just, if you're in the kitchen and you should be at the feet of Jesus, you've got problems. Are you with me this morning? If you are sitting in London now and you should not be here, you've got problems. If you are sitting in a job that is not satisfying God, you've got a problem. If you are, you know, going about life and, you know, you are doing whatever you think and you've not confirmed with God a few things so that He can operate through your life, you have problems. Not because God is going to wipe you from the face of the earth and think that you are crazy and try to get rid of you. God loves you. God is so committed to you that He wants you to fulfill the promises that He has for your life. And the beautiful thing is, Mary knows exactly what Jesus has called her to be. A worshipper unto the feet of Jesus. Let me tell you, this was not just a wild morning for Mary, where she stood up out of bed and she ran to the flask of alabaster oil that was prepared for her husband probably, you know, in the future, which you save for a long time money for. And then you get this wild idea, okay, this is a good day to throw some you know, oil on the feet of Jesus. That's not what happened here. This woman was prepared for what God was busy doing in and through her life. She was very deliberately committing herself, and it's a costly exercise. It's going to cost her for the next while, because she's going to have to work again to get some oil. But the beautiful thing is, it's so deliberate that she says, I will pour it on the feet of my Jesus. And the others would ask some questions. Hey, listen, we could use this for something else. Let's just make sense here. Let's not lose the plot. And so, the problem with Martha is not that she's in the kitchen, but the fact that she has a problem with where Mary is. And I see this often in the church. We're so busy focusing on other people's anointings and, you know, what other people are doing, that we forget that contentment is found within God has called you to be. And worship is a place where you and I find contentment only in Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:46. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural and then the spirit. Now I want to just quickly have a conversation around this because it's coming up a lot the last few days. You know, it's strange how we as Christians would wait for God to move some day and do something in our lives. And if God does something, we will do something else. Is it not so? We're waiting our lives out to... Okay, quickly stand. Let me just get some life in this place. Jackie, shake the person next to you before you fall out of the window. The heat is blessing us this morning. Okay, have a seat. Yeah, that phone is becoming too sharp for you. Okay, so I want to get back to the conversation. So, guys, the problem is that you and I will be waiting for the rest of our lives for something to happen until we get to a point, like Mary, where we would say, it's time. I'm going to move out in faith. Do you know how humiliating this was for this woman? In the culture at the time, it was not, you know, even... you know, the custom for a woman to be in the presence of a lot of men. Okay? If there's men's talk, you don't get into it. And Jesus was busy having this big conversation, and yet this woman sees the blessing of being a worshiper in the midst of all of this and doing the most significant thing that none of these disciples ever could do. And so she would come and anoint Jesus' feet. And I can tell you, you know, the blessing for me of it was, even though she went through a lot of humiliation, she did it. We often hear God speaking, but we don't do it. There's some things in the spirit that must first move before we can move into the spiritual fruit thereof. Okay, can I say that again? Hopefully you're awake now. Sometimes we must put our foot out of the boat so that we can walk on the water. But until you do so, God is going to be very patient with you. Okay, are you with me this morning? There's some physical actions that you will have to take in order to be obedient to God, and sometimes you don't even know if you get it right. Because I can promise you, the more times you get it wrong, the quicker you will learn to get it right. So many Christians are so afraid that they're going to get it wrong that they never do it. And I am doing it very deliberately this morning because I'm saying to you, we're going to lay hands on people and trust that they will be healed until they get healed. But just because we are afraid that it's not going to happen, it's not going to stop us from being faithful to what God has commissioned us to do. Are you with me? Guys, I want to have everything that God has in store for my life. And I know a king that is so excited about this nation that he wants to deliver them from all their issues. He wants to deliver me from all my issues. And he's working very hard at making me, understand that. But you know what? I will not stay the same. And I want to say to you this morning, there's some physical obedience steps that you will have to make in order to get and align yourself to where Christ is at that is necessary in order for the fruit of spiritual reward. Okay, are you with me? Because it will not happen until you start to be obedient. So yes, it's a crazy thing to do to go and throw salt in the river. Okay, that's... normal people don't do things like that. Okay? So find yourself to be very crazy here, but what I can tell you, we're going to do lots of those things. And sometimes it's going to be in vain because we're going to miss God. But God knows our hearts. And He's going to use it as a sweet fragrance unto Him. Are you with me? I can assure you that, you know, we are doing it right every time. But one thing that I'm saying is walk the journey with me because I want to. And until we get it right, we're going to try and go and do it again. Until we get more accurate, until we get more authority, until we can, you know, hear God's voice clearer. Until we can be so synchronized that we will act upon what God is saying quickly and early the next morning. Until we can get to a place where we can see the fruit of God happen and break the yoke very quickly. Are you with me this morning? And so, she did what she could. Verse 8. Surrendered her possessions and her ability to Jesus to glorify His name. So I want to say to you, guys, I can only do whatever I can. And God will be fine with the rest. The fact that you and I am just faithful with what we can do. You know, we don't have a beautiful building yet. It's amazing. I want to say it again. It's not as if we are not grateful for it. But there's so many reasons that we give for God not to operate. It's then the building, then it's the small group must all grow, and we must get the structure of the small group in place, and we must do this. There's always a thousand things. Until we can put down our foot and say, listen, I've done what I can, but I'm trusting God to be in line, in step of the Spirit, so that His presence can make all the difference and break the anointing that will break the yoke. So what I want to get to is 2 Peter 1 verse 14 speaks about knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. This is Peter speaking, and then Acts 20 verse 24, but none of these things move me, nor do I count myself dear, my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and ministry, which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of grace of our Lord. This is Paul saying that, listen, in the midst of this, I know what is the race that God has given me. I know that God has planned, thanks my wife, I promise not to get a flu or the flu before the end of the year again, so I'll have to go and get some vitamins after this one. Praise God, He's going to heal me. So, both these men have shown a lot of maturity in knowing exactly what God has called them to do. I want to be in that place. I want to be at the place that you and I know why God has called us. What she has done will also be told. Our eternal purpose, the fact that God has a plan for our lives, and for Mary, He says that in the book, my word, we will celebrate whatever you have done for ages to come. And there's a blessing therein, John 12, verse 4 to 6. But one of His disciples, Judas Iscariot, and I want you to listen to this one. Because in and among these disciples, there's one disciple that that was making sums even more than Peter and even more than the rest. And I want to take you to what he has done. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And he had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. Now, my question to you will be this morning. How do you spend time with Jesus? For 3 years, you've been called by him, chosen by him, being set apart by him. And yet you will see all the miracles of God. You would see all the amazing things that Jesus has done. And you must recognize that there's something supernatural going on here. You must recognize that this Jesus is fulfilling so many of the prophecies of the Old Testament. And yet, in the midst of all of this, this man does not have the fear of God upon him to do what is right with what we know in Matthew 6. If you can't be faithful with unspiritual things like mammon, how can you be faithful with the spiritual things of God? I want to say to you guys, for us, we are many times, you know, walking in and around God's kingdom. We are committed to him. We are, you know, walking for the benefits with him. And then our hearts get exposed to the Marys. The people in and around God's kingdom that actually are the worshippers. The people that would do whatever God wants because God wants them to do it. And then Judas gets exposed because his intentions all the way were scheming around Jesus for his own benefit. You know, denying Jesus or not denying Jesus, even, you know, giving Jesus' name and, you know, betraying Jesus at the latter part of Jesus' life did not come as a good idea one morning as well. As we can see, this man called Judas already for a long time did not walk in the fear and trembling before God that was necessary. Why not? Because he had his own schemes, his own ideas, and he was fulfilling his own little kingdom. And this is so natural. I want to say to you this morning, don't think that you are above this. Because if you do, then I want to say to you this morning, you're also in trouble. I call it spiritual pride. Because you know what? I'm a pastor, and I scheme a lot. Okay, this is a shock to some of you. But I've got weird and wonderful ideas that grows on me. And if I don't lay those ideas before God and say, okay, this is of God, this is not of God, okay, this is a beautiful thing that God is revealing to me, but this thing, you know, this is just... There's often times that I'm thinking, okay, you know, maybe I should just go in the... you know, entrepreneurial. I was with Davi. I was just thinking, you know, I've got all these ideas. I can help Davi. We know we're going to sell these things and we're going to make lots of money. Our scheming brains. As humans, we are so committed, you know, to to figure these things out until we are confronted by the fear of the moment where God exposes our hearts. Do you know what normally happens when people's hearts get exposed? They rather leave the church because they feel humiliated. I want to say to you, as a disciple of God, know that your heart is going to be exposed many times in your walk with Jesus. But there's a place that Jesus brings us to for Peter. Peter, again, you got it wrong. Sorry, my friend. You know, we're sitting here next to the beach having a nice breakfast, but Peter, can we just talk about the failure again? Let's not fool ourselves in thinking it didn't happen. But Peter
Do you know that I'm not losing heart for what's happening in your life? Your little scheming brain is now going to come to my purposes. Can we just cement that before I leave? I want to say to you this morning, guys, look at little children. I've had three of them with my wife, and you know, we were very blessed. We are glad that they are growing up, but what I can tell you, it's one of those things. It's nice when it happens, but it's when it's over, it's over. You want to, you know, just not go back there again. But what I can tell you, the blessing is to see how children grows up and the sinful nature that they start off with. How you need to have the conversations around that sinful nature. And sometimes just stop the boat and say, okay, you know what's so amazing? Is as blessed as you are this amazing PK, this pastor kid, and we've got all this expectation of you, but clearly, you know, there's some conversations that we must have because you are not that holy. Chrissy said yesterday to me, she said she was so disappointed this week because she built this team, you know, in her workplace. And this whole year, you know, it everything just came together, you know, for years and years of input that she gave in this team, trusting, you know, God to give her amazing, praying for them and trusting God for an amazing team in her workplace. And they've become this mean team now that just shatters every goal that the company sets for them. They just double it. And she says, so she's got these few people now that, you know, would eat out of her hand. They're just amazing. Whatever she gives them, they just double the productivity. They just do amazing stuff. And then they went for the year-end function, and these three top people in her ranks now built the company, or you know, through the room that they stayed in at the hotel of the weekend that they went away with, built, you know, the company for all their drinks that they had, and it was almost 200 pounds of drinks that they had in their rooms. And she said, so now there was this moment, okay, because in this you know, walking the road and discipling, you must realize that people are human. And even though there are these amazing, you know, leaders that she's raised up, still they've got a fallen nature. And I want to tell you that happens so often in the kingdom of God. You think that the disciples that you've raised, you will not expect anything will happen like that, and then they, when you you want to boast about them, they get it wrong. Because we are human. And I want to say to you, the beautiful part of this is the place where you and I get to be exposed. We learn the art of repenting, humiliating ourselves, stand up again, and know that next time we're going to get closer to Jesus. Use the opportunity for Him to fulfill His work through us. And so I want to say to you, God is sovereign. God knows best. He wants us to deal with the fact that He will always know the best for our lives, and that He actually wants us to see His kingdom come in and through our lives. Let's just quickly stand. You know, there's three kinds of people being described in this message this morning. And it was the same for the prodigal son. I can tell you there's nothing different. And this is the story of the Bible. Because for the prodigal son, if you're the younger son, you know, you would think of yourself and your own agenda, again and again. If you are the eldest son, you will always know better. You will always scheme and connive and think that you know best. And this is the sad reality of the moment that Jesus had with his disciples and are still having with us today. Is the response of his disciples in the midst of his divine plan. The fact that they would criticize this woman and even humiliate her when she's doing the perfect will of God. And so you would see there's many big brothers, older brothers in the kingdom of God that would always try to to be too clever for the kingdom. And yet we miss it altogether. Because God has a plan with the youngest brother when he gets back home. He's done so many wrong things. And yet he's got the humility in his heart to fulfill the most important thing. And that is what Mary understood. I want to just be obedient to Christ. I don't want to miss the will of God. And I'm sure you're standing here this morning wanting the same. There's a place that you and I want to say to you, it's not that clear cut. We sometimes have these principles that we live by and that we think is so amazing. And we get the gospel, you know, we are winging it. We are really getting it right. And we, I'm telling you, that is where we miss God altogether. Because until you can get to the point where Mary was in knowing that all my priority, where that Colombian guy would know, doesn't matter what even the cloud around my, you know, exposure to the people in the pub is, I want to just recognize Jesus as the most important thing in my life. Until we get to that place where you and I can have the meaningful discussion with God about how serious we really are about His kingdom to come in our lives. We're going to do a lot of good works, but not God works that is fulfilling God's promise for our lives. Can we quickly just get the worship team here? This morning, I love what Mary represents. Mary represents something very special, I believe, not for just the time that she was in, but something that I believe God is going to do in and through this church and even in the churches to come, is the heart of the worshiper. Because this is where Mary is at. If I can just touch the robe of Jesus, if I can just satisfy Him. And I want to say to you this morning, stop thinking about your contribution to the church. Stop thinking about your giftings and how you're going to make it work. God is not interested in it. God is interested in what matters most, and that is to knit your heart together with His. Let's just bow our heads. Father, Jesus, we thank You for the heart of Mary. These women, Jesus couldn't wait to get to the grave. Does not make sense without You, Jesus. Let us pray in tongues. This morning you all know what it's about. So let Let's just allow the Holy Spirit here. We're going to pray now, and after that I'm going to show you a video clip as we end off. But I want us to just focus now. Clip thereafter, but I want us to just this morning I want all of us to get prayer, because we all need it. We all need to just recognize before God, where we are actually as bad as Judas and Peter and so many others. We've experienced the blessing of God, we've experienced the blessing of Jesus, we know He is the right way, the truth, and the life, and yet we don't surrender. I want us just to surrender, just to come to a standstill and just say, Jesus, Jesus, Your will be done. Okay, let's turn to one another and let's pray, and then I'm going to quickly, just don't leave, we want to show you the little video clip that I really believe will encourage